Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You know what that means, Zach? What's that sound mean? What's that song mean?
It used to be fun.
Derailing my hype train. 2 seconds into the show.
Sabres home opener tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Getting you ready for tonight. In just a few minutes here, we're going to get to our own Paul Hamilton, who is getting ready for Sabres morning skate today. Zach Benson, JJ Paterka, good news for yesterday, potentially playing today. We will see more on that. I am excited. I had a fun little tweet today about how Europe's not a real place. The first two games did not count. But in fact, they are in actuality 0-2. They've scored two total goals. They have not scored a power play goal yet.
They have not. And they've had
0-6 on that.
Six attempts, I should say.
And it's been not great. And so for more on those first two games and what we've seen in practice so far and what's upcoming for this week, we go now to the Wester Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, good morning. How we doing? How we feeling? It's exciting. Back at the arena. Should be a good time.
How are you?
I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there, Paul. I promise. I'm going to get there.
I'm going to drag him there kicking and screaming, Paul. It's going to be fine. We're going to have a great time today. Sabres hockey's back. We're back on North American soil.
Yeah, North American opening day. The Kings don't have Doughty, so that should be an advantage for the Sabres. So, I mean, the poor Kings, though, they got to start on 7 games on the road. That's how they start. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's brutal. I mean, the Sabres, yeah, they do get the 2 games in Europe. They then got quite a bit of time in between those games and then opening night, where the Kings, it's like, I don't know, you're going to forget where you live by the time you get back.
If I'm not mistaken, they started this, I think, in Quebec City, did they not? And for a preseason game? So they haven't been home in a while, or won't be home for a while.
I'm checking that now, and their last game, their last two games were at home against Boston and Florida.
Okay.
So they've at least recently been home. But then, yeah, I mean, their first home game is October 24th against San Jose.
Florida wouldn't have gone to Los Angeles for a preseason game. And I bet that game, I think that game was somewhere.
Oh, you're right,
else.
You're right. That was in Quebec City. You're right.
Yep.
Oh, wow, so they have been gone for
crazy.
A while. The Boston game as well, Quebec City.
Why?
Their last home game was Anaheim, September 28th.
We were having this conversation yesterday about marketing and the NHL and things like that. Like, how do you justify this long of a road trip right at the start of the season, especially if you're, like, in the Kings fan base? I mean, this is crazy.
There must be something in their arena. I didn't look, but there must be something in their arena that they can't get in, and they have to be out of there for – that's the only reason that you would do it is, you can't get dates in the arena, I would think.
That makes sense. I mean, that's happened before. I remember – I want to say for some basketball teams, kind of the same thing. They're finishing up renovations or what have you.
That's a busy arena, so they can have some famous person there for, a week or whatever. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I think – Josh, was it last year in the Premier League?
Hans Zimmer is there tomorrow.
No, Hans Zimmer wouldn't qualify for what I'm talking about.
All I'm seeing right now.
Just having a concert.
All right, well, I guess they just decided to, hey, Kings.
Leave.
Do this, see what happens.
That's brutal. All right, Paul, what did we see on those first two games against the Devils? The first game seemed to kind of be almost like you got goal lead. I saw some tweets about the deserve-to-win-o-meter, whatever that really is, that the Sabres actually played a pretty darn good game. The second game, from what I saw just on social media and then the stats itself, was worse. They lose both games. They only score one time in each. It was fairly deflating for a fan base and a team that kind of knows they need to get off to a hot start.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they played well. They played better the first night than the second, but I didn't think they played well. They were slow. They were slow in decisions. It was like, you know, the Devils came at them with speed, and was the first time they had seen NHL speed because they didn't play NHL players in the three preseason games. Not their fault, but that's the way it broke down. And so the first time they saw NHL speed were the Devils coming at them, and I think they panicked. They started being tentative, and they reverted back to what they know, which is last year. That's what's ingrained in their mind. And I asked Lindy Ruff this week, how long does it take for all the things you're trying to teach them to become habit? Because that's what has to happen. What Lindy Ruff wants them to do has to be habit. You can't be thinking about it. You can't be, we got to go here. No, it just has to become habit where it happens. Yes, you know, because that's, you've practiced it enough, you played it enough that it's a habit. He said he thinks it's already habit. I'm not seeing that at all. All I saw was them revert back to last year because that's what they know. And it obviously didn't work out. You know, the power play, of course, as you mentioned, didn't help them going 0-for-6. They couldn't even get the puck into the zone, which it was a problem last year also. And they scored 2 goals. Missed 2 wide-open nets because they babied the puck. And you know, you'd shoot it. I mean, shoot it through the back of the net and let it go through the net and hit the boards if you have to. But you can't miss wide open nets. I mean, the first one was in a 2-0 game by Obe Kabel. Well, if that's a wide open net, you're in the crease, and you baby the puck and you allowed Markstrom to get his stick back to make a save. And then Tuck had Allen. He wasn't even anywhere near the crease. And Devil defenseman, I think one was Dougie Hamilton, trying to scramble to get into the crease, and he hit the post. In a 2-0 game, and Obe Kabel scores there, it's 2-1. Does it change the game? Well, we don't know, but we also didn't get a chance to see if it changes the game. Maybe it changes the whole complexion of the game. Maybe you start getting some confidence because you scored a goal there and it's 2-1. And maybe the whole thing changes. Who knows? But they never got a chance to find out. Here you are playing whatever way you played, but you had 2 wide-open nets, which you missed. Early in the game, you have Tage Thompson, a guy who has scored 47 goals in this league, come in twice for good scoring chances coming through the circle. He missed the net both times. You can't miss the net there if you're Tage Thompson. You just can't. And, you know, those are the types of things that just, same thing last year. I mean, you're not around the net enough. When they got around the net, what a hard-working goal that Thompson scored. Greenway, he crashes the net. Thompson, he crashes the net. Tuck, he crashes the net. And they were relentless. Well, if we saw more of that, Tuck was talking about that. You'll hear it on the pregame show tonight. You know, if we saw more of that, they would score more goals. And that's what Lindy Ruff is trying to teach them. So, Lindy Ruff's the head coach, and if he feels that it's already habits, that, you know, he's forgotten more hockey than I know, but that's not what I've seen.
Right. Like, it's one of those things that you hear, and it kind of, you know, almost perks your ears up, because you're like, really? Are we sure? And it's just, you brought it up, Paul, there, like Thompson missing the net. I feel like that's been the last 2, maybe even 3 years. Dylan Cousins becomes addicted to hitting the post. It's just, they're a team that you can see talent. You can. I mean, it's why I still somewhat believe in this group. But then that you go out on the ice, and it was sort of the same over this weekend, too, or this past weekend, too, of just they get down in these early slumps and just seemingly, as you put it, they reverted back to last year. They reverted back to bad habits in some sort of sense of panic or what have you. It's just, it does seem like the same things with this team. I understand it's 2 games in, and we've got a lot of hockey to go. This team also didn't play many preseason games due to the European trip. But, man, it was disheartening. But, you know, last night you saw a lot of teams. Edmonton didn't score a single goal with guys like Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and now Jeff Skinner. So, I mean,
Please don't include him in that.
I had to just a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure he's still a goal scorer anymore. He's 32, 33 years old, whatever. Maybe. We'll find out. But I think that's starting to decline.
Almost. I mean, me and you, I think, both agreed on it, too, of you know, probably a good idea to move him out at this time, even if you have to do the buyout and everything like that. It's just, for this team especially, and I brought it up there at the top, it feels like this fan base, and I would say the team itself as well, it feels like especially tonight they need a win. You got Florida coming in on Saturday. They look just as good as they did last year. Not as bad as Carolina, but you really have never had a great game against them. The Kings, like you said, don't have Drew Doughty. Tonight feels really important for the first 2-3 weeks of the season, if not the entire season.
Well, two things. I would say don't blame the post thing all on Dylan Cousins. I've been playing hockey or watching hockey since I was 7 years old. I have never, ever seen a team hit the post more than this team does. It's everybody. It astounds me how many times they hit the post. I've never seen anything like it. I can't explain it, but they do that. You look at the schedule, honestly, I think 4 out of 5 games are very winnable games because they have these 2 at home, and then they go 3 on the road, which I think are winnable games. You're playing Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago. So, you know, I think you have an opportunity here. As poorly as I feel they played in Prague and are 0-2 and have already dug themselves a hole, they can dig themselves out of it in pretty quick order. You know, if they just go out and play their game, you know, the opportunity is here, right here and now, early in the season, to get right back on track, I think.
So, Paul, among other things, obviously tonight is the first regular season home game that Lindy Ruff has coached since 2013. So, I mean, what do you think the reception is going to be like that for tonight? I mean, it's probably going to be a pretty good atmosphere in there for the people that are there, right?
It'll be huge. When he's introduced, it'll be a huge reception for him. But the thing is, too, he doesn't have the luxury of a honeymoon. I know fans are really, you know, I would maybe use the word icon here in Buffalo, and they're excited about it, but if at the end of these 4 games I just talked about, it hasn't gotten any better, and they're 1-3, or I guess it's 5 games now, and they're 1-3-1 or 1-4, that'll be it for Lindy Ruff. The idea of Lindy Ruff being the coach will have worn off by then, and so it semi-wore off in Prague. I mean, my timeline was a mess, you know. So, you know, this team does not get any leeway whatsoever. Probably, I don't blame it. I don't know if they deserve leeway, quite honestly. It's not Lindy Ruff's fault that they've gone all this time without being in the playoffs. It's not any of these players' faults. They've gone all this time in the playoffs, but most of them are at least part of it. You know, how long has Rasmus Dahlin been here? He's almost been here for half of it. You know, Kevin Adams is, you know, he's now been here for, you know, so for a while too. So he's part of it. You no longer can say, well, it's not fair to put it all on us. You know, well, you're part of it too. So, you know, they're not going to get a honeymoon or a grace period. This has to change. It has to change now. And they've said so themselves. They, you know, all along, Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff says the time is now.
It does feel like the group says all the right things. I mean, I'm somebody that's got caught up, I want to say last year during their end of season press conferences at Locker Clean, out of them all being furious that they weren't in playoff hockey. Then they came in last year and just kind of was never really got off the ground. So I've now become a little stale to what everyone says. Partially due to I get excited and then they show up and I'm like, all right, and it's the same team. To the young guys, though, who really have not been here for much of the drought at all, JJ Paterka, Zach Benson, both either picked up injuries or were sort of injured already in Prague, but both talked yesterday, seemed pretty confident they could play tonight. Paul, what did you hear from both of them?
And Lindy Ruff was hoping, too. It sounds like what Lindy Ruff was talking about is just, look, at let's let it go overnight. Let's see how practice settled in. But he's looking, as I'm watching Benson come on the ice right now, you know, he's looking for them. As he said, we hope they can play. So I think it would have taken a setback from practice for them not to be able to be in the lineup. And both players after practice said they both felt good. Benson said that it wasn't anything that happened in the game. It was a nagging thing that had been bothering him, and it just got worse in the game that he couldn't go for the second game. So, but it wasn't really anything that happened in the game. It's just something that had been bothering him.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, Paul, another thing that we know in the past is never something we can really tell before the game, but goalie situation. Obviously, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Devin Levi coming in here tonight. I would assume that Luukkonen's probably going to be the starter, but, I mean, the whole feeling around the two of them this year, I feel like it's going to be kind of a feel-it-out-as-we-go sort of vibe, or what's your take on it so far?
Yeah, my guess is Luukkonen will play the next three, and then we'll see Levi in Columbus. That's my guess, because that's three games in four, and that would be the second of a back-to-back. So, or if they wanted to, they could let Levi play the first game of the back-to-back. You know, Luukkonen plays the first two, and then Levi plays in Pittsburgh. They could do it that way, too, if they wanted to. Then Luukkonen in Columbus and Chicago. But I think that's – I mean, Lindy had said at his press conference that, you know, his goaltender is Luukkonen, but he's not willing to say that Lukanen's going to get up to 54 games like he did last year. It's basically a wait-and-see type of thing. You know, he has sat down with Mike Bales trying to get to know the two goaltenders, what makes them tick. And as he said, Mike Bales does a lot to kind of drive that ship, too. You know, Lindy didn't play goal in the National Hockey League. Most of the head coaches that you see here, unless they're named Patrick Waugh, you know, haven't. So they have to really rely heavily on their goaltending coach and talking about goaltenders. And it's the head coach's final decision, but they rely on their goaltending coaches. So I think early on here, unless they're going to do the Bruins basically back and forth when they had Swayman and Allmark. They both got 40 games or more last year, so which is basically, if they could, they went back and forth. So maybe Levi has earned that you know, he would get the Florida game and, you know, and they would alternate. But we're just going to have to wait and see. But he did say if a goaltender gets on a roll, you know, pretty good chance they're going to wind up in the net. So I don't think he really knows what he wants to do. He's going to let the season unfold and let the season tell him what he wants to do. You know, if they're both playing really, really well, then they both play. If one's quite a bit better than the other, then he's going to play most of the time. I think he's going to let the season dictate how he's going to go about it.
Might be the way, or the best way to do it. Paul, last thing here before we let you get off to practice. Going to turn our attention to baseball. The Yankees last night. Good 3-2 win over the Royals in Kansas City. Stanton with a home run. They lead that series now 2-1. And if they win tonight, on to the ALCS. How are we feeling?
Well, this is what they got Cole for. I mean, there are times Cole has pitched well this year, and there's times he's been awful. But this is why they got him. It's playoff baseball. Cole has a chance to end it, and let's go to the next series. So that's his opportunity. That's what he's paid to do. And that's what he's got to do. And I'm sure he relishes that kind of an opportunity. Usually players of that ilk really do. Although Judge, still, I mean, he has just not performed in the playoffs in his career. And he's not in this playoff either. So you can't explain it. But Stanton does perform in the playoffs and hit a big home run for them to get them over the top and stole a base.
Which is insane. That should not happen.
He can't run because of injuries. They can't put him in the outfield anymore. That's why he's such a huge double play player. You know, plays that wouldn't be double plays on anybody else are on him. And watching it, they just totally ignored him. And he just got further off first and further off first and further off first. And he was like maybe 40% of the way there. And he said, okay, let's go.
Like, I guess I'll run.
And he made it. It was like, wow, he just stole a base. But when I saw the replay, I said, okay. They just totally ignored him and let him get the Volpe running lead, and off he went.
Game time tonight at 8 o'clock, an hour after the Sabres get going against the Kings. So, Paul, it's going to be a long night for you. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. We'll talk again for the pregame.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. Again, pregame right here on WGR starting at 6 o'clock for a 7 p.m. puck drop as the Sabres have their home opener tonight against the L.A. Kings. I haven't actually looked forward to the schedule that much. I've been keeping it very, like, within the two games, what have you, within the week. They do have a nice early schedule here. You do get a Kings team that has not been home for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, they're also injured. Florida, not great. Going to that game. Already sort of regretting it. It's fine. I seem to always go to the Florida Panthers games. And then, yeah, you get Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, Dallas, and Detroit, and Florida after that. That's not great, but if you can pick up a win here,
mm-hmm.
get a point in Florida, or against Florida, you right. feel a little bit better going forward.
And that's the thing, too. Like with Florida, I'm looking at it. The Sabres have always played decently well against Florida.
It's frustrating as hell.
Okay.
Again, it's super frustrating.
Captain Optimism is here today. Listen to me. Please, listen, Zach. Hear me out. We've gone to Sabres Florida games together, and we see how aggressive they get with these Panthers players. I mean, Darlene and Tkachuk wanted to fight in the locker room 2 years ago. So I don't think there's – like, it could be a close game. And sure, they could go in there, and it could be rough because they are the defending Stanley Cup champions after all with not much turnover from their team. But –
that Reinhardt goal was so cool.
He's crazy. He is so good. But I look, like you said, you look at this first schedule, this first week and a half, 2 weeks of the schedule, there's a lot of 3 days in a row you're off, and you can just kind of breathe a little bit. Sure, there's a back-to-back in there, like Paul brought up, with Pittsburgh and Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But one, Pittsburgh to Columbus is not a far trip. Two, you have two good goaltenders. You're fine in that regard. And three, that's the second to last game of your three-game road trip. So, I mean, you know, it's – and then you're home for four games. So then you have
– yeah,
light at the end of the tunnel.
You're not the Kings where it's seven games or a really extended road trip. It's quick. You're not traveling across the country. They're relatively close cities. I mean, they're as close as they can be.
There's really no big road trip until – the end of November, when you go to L.A. to take on the Kings. But, I mean, because if you look at it, there's all these home games sprinkled in here in the first month and a half of the season. But then your road trips are Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Philadelphia. So it's not really – and two, between all those trips, after Chicago, you have 3 days off until your next game when you get home. After Detroit, you have 3 days off till you get home.
Mm-hmm.
After New York, you have off 2 days.
Okay.
Or a day, I should say, because it'd be a Friday.
When's the first Sabres after dark? Man, it's not till like late
November 2nd. Yeah, against the Kings and then Anaheim and then San Jose. But that's even a short trip because after those three games, you come back home. That's a short Sabres after dark. We're not doing the whole West Coast swing there.
November 20th, L.A., 22nd, Anaheim. And then, San Jose is an 8 o'clock game.
Oh, it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good one. I like that. Saturday, 8 o'clock games, that's a pretty good time.
That's pretty good.
Sabres After Dark is a great time overall. But when they're on the weekend, it's like, I have no commitments tomorrow. We're fine. We can stay up till 1 in the morning and hopefully have a good result.
I think it's just, and I say this both, obviously, you can tell by my tone. I'm pessimistic. I get it.
It's okay.
We'll
get there.
But this is important.
Yeah.
As Paul brought up too, like there really isn't going to be a honeymoon period for Lindy Ruff as head coach.
And I think
if you start the season off 0-3,
I feel
and you
like,
lose tonight for the home opener, and then you got Florida coming into the building on Saturday, it's going to feel like here we go again. Mm-hmm. We're on to year 14. Just put up the banner now. We know the drought continues, and it's the feeling of an apathetic fan base that I think should be the worry for everyone in that building, is the worry that eventually, even the big moment games, you won't get people showing up. There will be people tonight for Lindy's first regular season home game in forever.
9 years.
9 years. But those big moments won't last forever. Number one, you're running out of big moments anyways. And that's the fear. is that once you've run out of big moments and then the team isn't good, you're just never filling out the building, and that fan base becomes apathetic. They need to be good. Not great. I'm not saying they need to be great this year, mm-hmm. but they need to make the playoffs with this group, or they're never going to attract free agents. They're never going to get taken off of people's no-trade clauses.
Right.
And so, well, yes, it's game three of an 82-game season. I get it. There's a lot there. You need to give some sign of hope, some sign of life, some sign that Ruff as head coach is actually working. I will tell you, and I don't know if Paul necessarily shares my fears, but you know he was also kind of given like a little bit of like a, really, it's already ingrained to them? Like, are we sure? And that's sort of my feeling is like, I don't love hearing that Ruff already thinks they've changed ways, and because the weekend did not look like that. Mm-hmm. The weekend looked exactly like last year's team in almost every way. The power play, the inability to just get it in the opposition zone is just, I mean, it's turn the TV off type stuff.
Right. Well, and that's too, like let's say the Sabres go out there and it's they lose tonight, right? Like, let's say that happens. Yep. If it's a loss like the last two games, there's problems. If it's a, hey, you know, it's 4-3 and you played a great game, you're out shooting the Kings, you just got unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot different of a loss than 4-1 and 3-1 where you're barely getting pucks on net.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound like that guy, but it does make a difference on how the loss happens. If it's a close game all the way to the end and you're back and forth, that's one thing. But if it's a...
Dude, I told you too.
You go down early and you try to make a comeback, mm-hmm. but you can't get enough, then that's, okay, you shouldn't have been in that situation.
I was going to say, it's because it's very similar of, well, you fell behind late.
Right.
Like you always do.
Or you fell behind early, like you always do.
And you brought up the point too, if you play close, but you ultimately lose. If you can get it to overtime, something me and Paul have talked about a lot too, of the loser points. Just keep picking up points.
The Blue Jackets made it to the playoffs one year with 20 overtime losses. That's 20 free points for a loss.
I don't think...
Do away with the overtime point.
I don't think most of this fan base cares how they get there. Just get there.
Yeah, right.
We still talk about the COVID year where what? 90% of the league made it? I'm being facetious.
I would take an 0-0-82 season. Because there's a chance that you could make it into the playoffs some years with 82 points. Not recently. But hey, you lose 82 games in overtime, you still have 82 points at the end of the year. That's better than most of the teams in the league.
Yeah.
Or almost half the teams in the league.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about tonight's game? Are you going? Are you excited? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at 11:30, we will get a check-in with the Bills as well, as they're getting ready for their Monday night game against the Jets. And the Jets will have a new play caller. No, Nathaniel Hackett is not fired, but Todd Downing is going to be the team's new offensive play caller starting Monday night against the Bills. We'll give our thoughts on that as we go, but we're thinking very Sabres heavy today. As you know what? It's home opener. Why not? We didn't get to really talk about them too much in Prague because they weren't really here. It was kind of hard to. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.